Last May, on a Sunday afternoon, I went to visit my grandfather. The visit was not unusual. I went to see him every 2 or 3 months, and this was simply one more of those visits. I caught the bus at 3, and an hour later I was walking down the quiet street where he lived. My grandfather had lived in that house for over 40 years. My grandmother had died 8 years before, and after that he had stayed there alone, in the same small terraced house, with the same brown furniture and the same brown teapot. He had been retired for nearly 20 years, and his life had narrowed, naturally, to the kitchen, the small back garden, the occasional visitor, and the radio. When I rang the bell, he took a moment to come to the door. I noticed, as he opened it, that he was a little smaller than the last time. His eyes, however, were the same. Careful, slightly amused, kind. He smiled and said, "Come in." We sat in the kitchen, where we always sat. He put the kettle on the stove and made tea in the brown teapot. I had grown up watching him do this. The same gestures, the same small quantity of leaves, the same quiet wait for the water. And I noticed that afternoon that I was watching him do it again, slightly more carefully than usual. I'm not sure why. It might have been that I was tired and was paying attention to small things. It might have been something else. We drank our tea slowly, the way he liked. He told me about the yellow flowers he had planted in April, and about a small bird that had started coming to the garden every morning. He thought it might be the same bird from last year. I told him about my work, and he listened politely, but it was clear that the bird was more interesting to him than the office. I did not mind. I told him more about the bird than I had really intended to, and he was happy. After about 2 hours, I looked at my watch. The bus back was at 6, and I had to leave. I stood up, took our cups to the sink, and said I should go. My grandfather walked me, slowly, to the front door. At the door, he held my hand for a moment longer than usual. He said, "Come again soon, will you?" His voice was warm, but a little tired. I said I would. I meant it. Then I walked down the street to the bus stop. I did not know, when I waved at him from the corner, that this was the last time I would see him. He died in August, 3 months later, peacefully, in the same small house. The death was not a surprise. He was old, and his health had been slowly declining for some years. But it was, in another sense, a complete surprise, in the way that the death of someone you love always is. Now, when I think about him, I do not remember the funeral, or the difficult days afterwards, or even most of his life. I remember a Sunday afternoon in May. I remember the brown teapot on the stove, and the yellow flowers through the kitchen window, and the small bird he had been watching that morning. I remember his hand on mine at the door, slightly longer than usual. I have wondered, sometimes, whether he knew. The longer hand at the door, the slightly tired voice, the careful, "Come again soon." These might have been ordinary, or they might have been something he was aware of in a way I was not. I will never know. I think, on balance, that he did not know any more than I did, and that what I am remembering is simply the ordinary tenderness of an old man saying goodbye to a grandchild on a Sunday afternoon. But I notice that I have remembered the visit in much greater detail than any of the visits before it. I noticed the teapot. I noticed his eyes. I noticed his hand. Perhaps something in me was paying attention without quite knowing why. Or perhaps memory simply works this way, sharpening after the fact around what turned out to matter.